Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, March 21st, 2011. Hard to believe that this month and this first quarter is flying by this quickly, but it is. But with all that's going on in the industry with LO Comp and the confusion surrounding it, it's not surprising that we're just a little bit distracted. And that's what this program is going to be about. Again, this week, we're going to be talking about LO Comp. And last week, there was a Fed call, the famous Fed conference call that supposedly was going to answer all the questions out there. But by the looks of how many people are dialed into today's call, I would say they failed in their mission to communicate clearly. How about that? The feds can't speak clearly. That's just a shocker, isn't it? Anyway, welcome to the program. We're good to have, glad to have you here. We're going to have Glenn Corso coming back on the program later in the program to specifically answer and talk about the conference call and all the issues that were raised by that. And in spite of their best efforts to be clear, they were not. And so we're going to dive into that. Also, we want to say thank you to each one of our sponsors in advance of this. They're so critical to us. Rob Katz apologizes. He's not going to have a segment up here for us today at Del Mar Database. He has been just really busy, but we are thrilled to have Del Mar Database as one of our sponsors, along with PMI and, of course, everyone else who participates in the call. Good news, too. We just got word that we're going to have a new sponsor, Optimal Blue, is coming in to the sponsorship group, and we're thrilled to have them joining on as well as others. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the radio program, please email me at David or D Lickin, D-L-Y-K-K-E-N, at mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Without further ado, let's get into what's going on about interest rates, because after all, it's all about interest rates, all about what is going on. Joe Farr was gone last week. We really missed you, Joe. I tried to do this segment. Drew was gone. Our producer was gone. So I was running the panel, running the programs, and then on top of it all, just to throw a wrench in there, Murphy's Law showed up, and I was having line troubles with a landline, of all things, dialed into the set. So it's good to have you here, and it's good to have Drew back running the program behind the scenes. Good to have. What's going on today as far as interest rates?
Well, it's pretty interesting today, Dave. This morning, things started out pretty routinely, nothing very crazy going on until 9:30, and that's 9:30 Eastern time. The Treasury announced that they were going to begin to sell their mortgage-backed security portfolio.
I saw and that. That was curious.
Think about it. I said the Treasury. It's not the Fed. There's a big difference. The Treasury. The Treasury initially began purchasing mortgage-backed securities right after the takeover of Fannie and Freddie and the market disruption. They got in there in between September 08 and December 08. They bought about $220 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities. That preceded the Fed and their $1.25 trillion purchase, which still has like $950 billion outstanding. So this is just a Treasury's announcement. But, boy, at 9:30, when they made that announcement, the market dropped about half a point. We've since recovered about half of that drop, so we're not down like we were. In fact, you probably got unfavorable price changes soon after that 9:30 drop if you had received prices earlier. And now there's a chance you're going to get favorable price changes because the market's now recovered about 10-30 seconds from that drop, or about 8-30 seconds from that drop, so a quarter of a point anyway. And, it's interesting to see a reaction like we saw. The total of the Treasury's portfolio is only $142 billion as compared to $950 billion held by the Fed. So we can only imagine what's going to happen when the Fed begins selling their portfolio.
Don't want to think about that.
So that really drove prices. Yeah, this was kind of another one of those unexpected events driving the market. One of the things that you'd ordinarily expect to drive the market would be an economic announcement like came out regarding existing home sales. It's very weak, down 9%. You know, nothing very good about that report, but that would ordinarily move mortgage rates higher and would drop the stock market. Well, the stock market's up almost 200 points in some recovery from last week, and the mortgage market is only now beginning to recover after that big drop. So strange things move in the market this week, and quite frankly, same thing last week. I mean, when you look at what drove the market last week.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. You were gone at the Capital Markets Cooperative Conference and love to get a report on that. But you kind of give us a review of what happened last week, if you would, Joe.
The market was driven by events across the world. You know, it's Japan and the Middle East. And they're unrelated, but equally affecting the market right now. The disaster in Japan has caused or did cause almost an immediate expectation for reduced growth in the United States, given that Japan's such a large economy and they're going to be, you know, potentially, most likely, buying less. And as a result, the economic growth here and that impact on inflation likely will result in lower growth, lower inflation, and that was favorable for mortgage rates, as at much like it was unfavorable for the stock market. And then the conflicts going on in the Middle East and all the uncertainty around that and its
oil
impact
prices.
On the price of oil, doing the same thing, causing expectations for growth here to diminish. And that's been, again, favorable for mortgage rates and unfavorable for the stock market. Now, some of that's reversing, started to reverse somewhat toward the end of last week. And as far as the stock market, it's continuing today. But, it's very rare when you see two non-economic world events, different parts of the world, be so have such an impact on our mortgage rates.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was in the face of very significant economic announcements last week, which had almost no impact on mortgage rates. The Fed meeting occurred last week. Granted, there were very few surprises coming from the Fed meeting. Had no impact on mortgage rates. And both CPI and PPI came out. The overall numbers for CPI and PPI were bigger than expected and showing some increases. But once you back out the consequence of or the effects of food and energy and get to the core, a little bit higher than expected and showing a little bit of growth, but still very, very well contained. Manufacturing numbers were good last week and housing starts were bad last week. So. For the week, mortgage rates had dropped a little bit on all the worldwide uncertainty caused by the two events in Japan and the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, what do we got in store for us this week? I mean, I know you can't have the crystal ball to see what's going to be happening globally, and there seems to be so much happening globally.
Who knows what's going to move the market?
Yeah, no kidding.
But for economic events, we have new home sales coming out on Wednesday. Biggest event probably is the March durable orders will come out on Thursday at 8:30. But you know, there's going to be a lot of interest paid to continuing events. Obviously, over the weekend things picked up a bit in Libya. And the consequences and the success of those operations will likely have some impact, as well as what might happen in the ongoing issues with the nuclear reactors in Japan.
No question it is going to be another one of those things. External, offshore issues could be coming in, affecting things dramatically. So I guess that's the importance of having a really good monitoring service such as MBS Global.
Yeah.
Joe, so good to have you back in the saddle.
Thank you.
And knowing that you're there, appreciate it. Value your contribution each and every week. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Lickin, and we have Alice Alvey out there in Detroit, the prosperous community. Things are just so good up there because there's so many jobs. Everyone's moving to Detroit. Is that right, Alice?
Hey, wait a minute. Are you making fun of my great city?
No, I'm not. I feel badly for what's going on up there. I just hope that this is spread all over. But what we do have Al is doing, she is employing a great number of professionals that help keep us all on top of what's going on legislatively. And, folks, we have had enough going on at the federal level. It's going to be spreading all the way now down to the states, some of the things that are going on. Don't know how we're going to try to keep track of all of that. But coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan, Greater Detroit area, Alice Alvey, president of Mortgage U. Alice, what is going on in the world of the traffic report, the legislative traffic report?
Oh, we have a couple things, actually. Since I even gave you my write-up, I was doing some more digging here. And, you know, I don't know how many people may have taken advantage of the FHA short refinance program. It was one of those programs that came out. You started reading it, you're going, oh, wow, this is great. We're going to be able to help borrowers with higher LTVs, refinance, who might be underwater. And then there was a sentence in it that said, however, the underlying lien holder must forgive at least 10% of the unpaid principal balance. So the whole FHA,
oh, by the way.
Right. One of those, you know, you're reading, you go, wow, this is okay. And then you hit that, you know, brick wall in the program. You just go, this is not going to work. I think on my last call with the FHA working group through the Mortgage Bankers Association, I think there were about 30 to 40 loans total across the country that closed under this program. So it's not a big deal that we've seen House Bill 830 go ahead and pass, that it actually passed the House on March 10th, and it was just introduced February 28th. So to give you a little bit of an idea, that's really fast by legislative standards that something moves from being introduced to passing.
No kidding.
So it's truly slated for the chopping block. I'm sure it'll make its way through the Senate very quickly as well. There's another companion bill in the House for also canceling out some of the mortgage relief refi programs. But really, I don't want anybody to worry about it because it wasn't a program we were really using anyway. It's a matter of just taking them off the books because technically the program could have still been out there till 2012. And so that's probably the only real activity from a congressional standpoint. They're certainly talking through different foreclosure bills to be able to see what is going to happen for either continuing to help or take those off the books so that, again, the government isn't supporting too many foreclosure programs that aren't working. So there are a couple bills out there to put an end to the HAMP program, the Home Affordable Modification programs that are out there. So a couple bills that we're watching on that front as well. Also want to give everybody a heads up to watch for. You know, I know we have a lot of deadlines with April 1st. Everyone's focused on LO compensation, but you do want to make sure that you're remembering May 20th, right around the corner after that, is going to be when you have to have the $1 million net worth for FHA unless you meet that small business definition. So for the most part, many of you out there have already been gearing up for that. I just wanted to give you a heads up that we're creeping up on that deadline. And then also just, again, a heads up that April 1st is when appraiser independence goes into play. Now, again, for many of you already following the old HVCC rules, this is not a big dramatic change. It's more of a change for the appraisal management companies. They become formally regulated, and it's a big change for maybe community banks and credit unions that may not have had some procedures locked down. So make sure you have written policies for that because it becomes a federal offense as opposed to just being something that Fannie and Freddie don't like. Then, secondly, keeping in mind, Andy Schell and I are going to be talking in the next segment about the NMLS call reports coming up that require both expertise from your finance area as well as having good production reports. So Andy and I are going to get into that with you in a couple minutes after the next break. Also, on LO licensing, guest Glenn Corso's on the show. He's going to be here. We have 9 days. So far, no big, you know, stumbling block out there, other than maybe there's rumors about even the regulators getting cold feet on it. And then the next piece to that puzzle, if we get through LO Comp, it really goes into play April 1st. Next piece of the puzzle is going to be that qualified residential mortgage exemption. We're really watching the talk on this for you. Per the National Mortgage News, there does appear to be a tentative agreement between the Fed and the OCC and the FDIC that would exempt Fannie and Freddie loans while they're in this conservatorship. I know there's been a lot of press about would a qualified residential mortgage exemption, where I would not have to have 5% risk retention as a lender, would that just be loans that are 20% down, and therefore, you know, first-time home buyers, anybody with less than 20% down, I'd have to retain 5% capital for against that loan. So it's good news, I think, that Fannie and Freddie are going to be included. I don't think Congress is going to be real happy about that, because Fannie and Freddie are the lion's share of, you know, the business out there, but
right.
It would be really good if we could at least at this point get Fannie and Freddie loans would be exempt in this initial stage of defining QRM. So that is my traffic report for now. Back to you, Dave.
Matt, good to have you providing this each and every week. And folks, you definitely want to stay tuned as they get into start as we begin to introduce the topic of the mortgage loan call report that's coming up. We're going to be covering that in the after the LO Comp goes live. We're going to be getting into it in more detail in April, but we're really wanting to make sure you guys have some foundational knowledge of it, so we're going to stay tuned for that. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality trainings throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com.
Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. It is March 21st. I say that because you can go down and go on to the website, lickinonlending.com, download the programs, and listen to each one of these segments. There's so much material that we cover, so much content. We cover it so quickly, you almost really need to download the program multiple times and listen, or download it once, listen to it multiple times to gather all that's going out there. We want to say again thank you to all of our faithful listeners that are across the country listening each and every week. We thank you so much for your feedback about the program. Also, I want to mention as we get into the discussions, you got to be aware of the LinkedIn discussion. I will get into that. We're up to 2,353 members, all of which are making comment about LO compensation. Not sure, it feels like after this thing closes, it's going to, if it gets resolved, and we go on as if it'll ever be resolved. At least it'll be past April 1st. I don't know what we're going to do with the 2,353 members. We're going to have to do something else, probably start talking about call reports or something. But something that is also out there ailing a lot of companies the first quarter of this year is the bottom line numbers. It has been red for many companies. A lot of people are struggling to make money because of a substantial, significant drop-off in production. So we've got a doctor on the phone that is always fixing what's ailing your bottom line, Andy Schell, also known as the Profit Doctor. What do you have for us today?
Well, Hi, Dave. You know, it's always fun to be on the show, and you were just talking about, what about all those LinkedIn connections? Well, hey, you know what? There's a lot of debating that needs to continue in mortgage banking, and hopefully that can continue to be the mortgage blog to talk about real issues and get real answers. Well, you know, we talked about with Joe, we talked about rates. Now we've talked about regulations with Alice, and I thought we'd do a little bit of financial strategy today. And the title for this presentation is based on something I read over the weekend. My wife downloaded e-books on her iPad. She got a new iPad 2, and part of it came with books, including Aesop's Fables. So I was reading through some of the fables, and I was inspired. So the topic for today's presentation is called The Rainbow, The Magnifying Glass, and The Tale.
Okay, good. I love how you bring on the bring all of this together for us. Okay, so
well, you know,
so what, have you been looking at rainbows lately?
Yeah, well, we've all seen a rainbow. We see a rainbow all the time. A rainbow is pretty and it's fun to look at. It's easy to see in the distance, and with a magnifying glass, when it's focused, we can make things that are really little easy to see. So these are they're very different. A rainbow and a magnifying glass are very different, but they're both very important in business. In business, a rainbow is the vision for the company's future financial success. It's easy to get excited about the vision. And designing the vision is fun. It's exhilarating. And you, Dave, you're one of the best people in the country I know of who helps people cast their vision and lay out a plan. You paint the rainbow, and everybody gets excited about the rainbow. They get excited about for the future of the company, and everyone's excited while they're there talking about the plan and all the money we're going to make, and they like looking at the rainbow because it's really fun. And then you fly back to Austin, and management steps in, and you give directions to say, now let's follow the plan, and let's attend weekly meetings and make sure we stay on plan. So the rainbow's been painted, but you know, now it's difficult. This
yes,
is where the rubber meets the road. It's easy to talk about all the money we're going to make while we implement our financial reconstruction plan, but it takes commitment and discipline to produce the results. So here comes the magnifying glass. Using a magnifying glass to follow the path gets tedious and even sometimes unpleasant. You may look through your magnifying glass and see that you need to make immediate changes in your organization. If there's too many people, then there needs to be less people. And that's always an unpleasant transition. But it takes leadership and commitment to press forward even when it is not fun. Leadership must take the excitement of the vision, everybody's pumped up, everybody loves the rainbow, and use that excitement and drive it into the plan. Drive results through the activities of the company, and that takes discipline to keep the staff moving forward and focused on the plan. You know, we often see companies get excited about the financial plan but then fail to make any progress because leadership gets distracted, and it's easy to get distracted. We all get distracted. Distractions of the day can impact an organization's ability to accomplish a financial restructuring plan. That's just something that happens, but we've got to watch that. And, Dave, you and I wrote an article that's running in this month's Mortgage Banker magazine about the future of mortgage banking.
Yes,
and in that article, we talk about leadership and management. And as we talked about in the article, Dave, now more than ever, the success of a mortgage bank is dependent upon leadership in management, and management's ability to measure, assess, and implement profitability that drives a strong ROI. Now, here's the part that is sometimes difficult to hear. A good originator is not automatically a good manager. A good accountant is not automatically a good leader. These are not – a manager and a leader are not necessarily inbred. You aren't necessarily just are because you're a good salesperson or are because you're good with numbers. It takes training to become those things. So it's important to lead, and it's essential to learn to lead and learn to manage. And really, one really fun way to learn management and to watch management is, Dave, you ever heard of the TV show Star Trek The Next Generation?
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Well, Captain Picard is one of the best examples of leadership there is out there. The leadership secrets of Captain Picard is one of the best ways to watch leadership. He is an amazing leader. So the point is, get help to learn to lead and learn to make decisions and manage through the distractions. You know, Dave, you and I were talking on Friday about the tail wagging the dog and how distracting that can be when we have what's called, you know, the tail wagging the dog. And it's basically when incidental, sometimes insignificant circumstances come at us, and they often become the tail because we listen to the distractions. It's easier to deal with the distractions of the day than to be the dog and keep control of the distractions that are hitting us and keeping focus off of implementing our plan. So it's difficult to stay on track, but we've got to be the dog. If we become the tail, we'll never get anything accomplished. And it's difficult to control the distractions, but this can be accomplished with focus, discipline, and coaching as needed. And distractions like LO Comp and NMLS call report, the things that are important that we're talking about today, can take over the direction of a company. It can be debilitating. But leadership, here it is, leadership must prioritize the activities and keep the essential elements on track. It's leadership's job to keep everybody focused, to keep inspired, to keep looking at the rainbow. Implementing the financial reconstruction plan is the path to the rainbow, but the rainbow will not become true if we become the tail. We must commit to the plan in order for the financial plan, what we're calling the rainbow, to become a reality. So here's the key. Here's the key to success. We need to paint a rainbow. We need to paint a really pretty rainbow. And, Dave, you're amazing in helping people do this. We need to believe in the rainbow, and we need to be a leader who can learn to lead the team to the rainbow. We then use the magnifying glass to see the results and follow the plan. And if you've ever held a magnifying glass, you've got to hold it just right to get it in focus. But you've got to have good KPIs, good key performance indicators, and solid financials from your accounting department to see where you are. Follow the plan to go where you need to go and be the dog. Don't be the tail. Control your day and move the financial plan forward. Success is not an accident. Success is the result of leading your team to the rainbow. So that is the profit doctor for today, Dave. It's a little bit more heady than normal, but I was inspired.
It was good. I love how you tie things together, and that is the rainbow, the magnifying glass, and the tail. Yep, folks, I tell you, it's so important. I've been saying this in the blog. You know, LO Comp is going to be, it's going to be more about leadership than the comp. It's, in other words, how someone leads to take their comp plan out is going to be probably more critical than anything else. Andy, excellent job today. I appreciate it. Always how you bring things forward and help us get to a good place of understanding what we need to be focusing on. It's not always the fun part. Yeah, we like to paint the pretty rainbows, but I got to tell you, it's all about making money. It's all about that bottom line. And folks, if you're wondering how to do that, get a hold of Andy Schell. I recommend that. Also, I've received already a couple emails. How do I get a copy of that article? You can go to the MBA website. They have the electronic version of the magazine. If you're not subscribed to it, get a hold of us, and we'll see about getting you a copy through the MBA. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back with Glenn Corso and talking about LO Comp. Oh, first of all, we're going to be talking about the call report with Andy and Alice, and then we're getting into Glenn Corso. Be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back, everybody. It's March 21st, Monday. Can't believe how fast this quarter is going, and I can't believe that we have LO Comp coming around us, but there's more coming, folks. As if that wasn't enough, we've got the famous call report, and we're going to give you a little bit of a – we're going to take a moment and get into a backdrop. We're going to be talking about this more after April 1st in the programs in April, so you're going to definitely want to tune into that. But bringing it forward and helping us understand the mortgage lending or mortgage loan mortgage banking call report. I guess it's more than just mortgage banking. It's virtually everyone. Is it not, Alice? Alice?
Well, it is. You know, that's a great segue, Dave, for who has to file this report. So all
has
state
to file this darn thing.
Yeah. All state-licensed companies and companies who employ state-licensed mortgage loan originators must submit this NMLS call report to the National Mortgage Licensing System now or service. So if you right now their actual website won't be set up in time until about May 2nd. So the report does have to get sent through them through another channel. They're actually setting up an actual call report section where all these reports will be submitted. Now, there's a slight reference in there also for if you're an individual loan originator and your company is not reporting data for some reason, then it is possible that an individual may have to take care of that. I'm assuming that's very few and far between out there. The biggest thing is that most states do require that information is reported by the company. So the company will be responsible for picking up and filing the information about each of its individual MLOs. So what is a call report and what goes on that? Well, it depends on the type of institution you are, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so if you are not an approved Fannie, Freddie, or Jenny Mae seller servicer, then you are only filing production numbers on a quarterly basis by state, and you will file a financial conditions report, kind of the version of a full call report like what a bank is used to, that gets filed annually. So you can, you know, have a few sweat beads relieved off of your forehead, but the fact remains you still have to collect the data throughout the year to be ready for that annual report. Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie Mae approved companies file an expanded report that does include information like would be on their mortgage banker's financial reporting form that they would normally submit. And Andy Schell, this is when I want to get you into the conversation here. Can you let us know a little bit about how similar the NMLS financial data is that to what maybe companies are already reporting to Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny?
Well, it's actually fairly standard. The basic reports, just a standard P&L and balance sheet. The Freddie Mac version, the agency version, is more extensive, but it's not substantially more extensive than the agency version of the report. So if you're already an agency approved seller servicer and you're already submitting to the agencies, you're probably going to be okay with the financial data, provided that you're doing loan level accounting. Now, I'm not certain how frequently and what the consequence for the Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae reporting verification is. I know they'll come out periodically, but I'd make certain that you're reporting it well. I'm rabbit trailing just a second because in the full report that the NMLS is requiring, it has a specific field where you have to report borrower escrows. So that means that if you're currently net funding and you're a Fannie-approved seller and you are not reflecting the borrower portion paid at closing that you're holding until the loan is sold, if you're not reflecting that as an escrow balance today, you're going to be in noncompliance with the NMLS report. So you've got to be sure and capture loan-level borrower escrow at closing to submit this the NMLS report, even if you're an agency's reporting entity currently.
I think that's such a big point because a lot of companies don't. You know, they just because they're selling the loan so fast, they don't necessarily grab that off of the HUD-1, you know, for their final accounting. So that's a great heads up. Now, the report that we have to file, the production numbers are filed by everyone on a calendar quarterly basis with just that quarter's information. So you're not putting together cumulative. They're going to monitor what's going on each quarter. For those of you who are Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny, the financial conditions report is completed quarterly for you, even if you have nothing on it. So maybe you didn't, deliver to Fannie or Freddie, you didn't service any loans underneath them, it doesn't alleviate the responsibility to file that report. Andy, what's the best way for people to keep on top of this? You know, is this a full-time job for somebody? It starts to feel like a lot of information to capture.
Well, if you're a smaller lender and you're only doing the annual financial report, make certain the data you're capturing today will fill the report segment that's needed next year. Don't go back and try to get all the data done all next year. Figure it out now. Look at the P&L that they're requiring and make certain your P&L currently has that level of detail and you're capturing the information. You know, Alice, on the LOS side, in looking at this statistical data report, it's referred to as page 2, and it's due from everybody quarterly. You know, there's some fields on here that make me a little nervous. You have to know for every single loan, both count and dollars, if it was directly received from the borrower or received through a third party, you have to know the status of every single application. And you've talked about this for a while, Alice, and it kind of scares me a little bit. It's like that little bitty brown recluse spider that's got the hourglass on its back. It's little tiny, and you don't think it's going to be any big deal, but this one section alone could put companies over the top. This is, you got to be capturing a lot of data on every application and decide if it was approved and not accepted, denied, withdrawn for incompleteness. I mean, there's just a bunch of stuff here that people need to really look at this.
Yeah, I've talked to some companies who were just classifying loans as withdrawn because they just didn't have to care about it. And maybe a lot of you, too, because of FHA's net worth and DE lender changes, have just gotten into originating loans this year and just become triggering HMDA reportable. And this report assumes, oh, you all know how to do that, when really a lot of companies out there are brand new at that aspect of it. And like you said, need to make sure they've got those action taken fields. So it's one field on the report, or a couple fields, and it's really something you have to have very accurate. Another field I noticed, just as a heads up for everybody here, and then I know you want to get to LO Comp, was, you know, you have to be able to know which loans were piggybacks, which ones had alt doc, which ones were full doc. And when they say alt doc, it looks like the definition is just for stated income. You have to be able to report your average warehouse days and production warehoused over 90 days. So you make sure you take the time to go to the NMLS Resource Center, read the details that apply to you, because you've got to get this report ready and at the door right after LO Comp starts to be digested. So,
and it's also, Alice, it's every single loan closed by volume, by originator, with the dollar amount and the count and their NMLS reporting ID.
And by state. So you really have, right, yes, you've got to have a lot of detail on each one of these loans. Anything else they should know about, Andy, before we pass it back to Dave?
Don't underestimate it. Just, you know, I know it's a distraction, but plan a solution and then define the tasks and then implement the tasks, and don't get dissuaded by all the other noise. Just come up with a way to deal with this and then take one step at a time. Turn it into Swiss cheese. Take a big block, put a bunch of holes in it by turning it into tasks, and then implement one task at a time with a timeline and a person responsible and a date, and then you can get this done. But if you wait and just stew over it, it's just going to blow up and be a big mess.
Well, and you can always call us, and we'd be happy to help you with understanding what the details of the fields are. So, thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you so much, Andy and Alice. We appreciate you. We're going to be talking about, listeners, again, we're going to be talking about this more in April after the fact, so we can help you, guide you through the process, getting much more in-depth into it. We appreciate you tuning in, and we're going to want you to stay tuned as we get in with a call with Glenn Corso in just a moment. He's on the line waiting to answer and clear up all the confusion that's out there. I'm just joking. We're going to sort through as much as we can. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Licken with Licken and Lending. We appreciate you dialing in, many of you, each and every week, and turning this into your news source or your source to kind of sort through all the things that are going out there, get informed of what's going on. It's a new and innovative way bringing you all the things that are happening across the industry. Andy talked about a little bit in his segment about the Profit Doctor about leadership, and we're about ready to bring on Glenn Corso, who is recognized as one of the longstanding 30-plus years in the industry, a leader without any question. And what
Specifically, Glenn and Pete and his partners there at the Community Mortgage Banking Project, which is an advocacy group for representing independent mortgage bankers. If you're not a part of it, you should be. Go out to their website. Again, their website is www.communitymortgagebankingproject.com, and you will be able to learn all what he does. We just had one of our clients, George Light, out of Home Savings and Trust, join it. He called me early this morning saying, I got to tell you, this is really a neat group. Very excited about it. So, Glenn, good to have you on the program, and help us answer all the questions that were as a result of this conference call. Again, they tried to get on and resolve many of the questions, Glenn, but I'll tell you, as we found out, there's just every time they speak, there just seems to be more confusion. Good to have you on the program. Glenn, do we have you on there? I want to make sure
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Now we got you on. Yeah, now we're good.
Good. Anyway, what I was saying is, Dave, you are absolutely right. There were a number of curveballs that were thrown during the Thursday webcast, including a curveball about referrals, construction loans, equity ownership, prospective adjustments to loan originator comp, and also on earnouts. if a couple of people sell their company to a mortgage banker and then they stay on as producing branch managers, their earnout has to comply with the rule, we were told, which was a major curveball.
I know. Glenn, it's just, I mean, if you they try to close one door and it just seems to open up all these other doors. Maybe it feels more like trap doors, but give us a little bit of your synopsis. What did get solidified, and then again, what are the issues that you're hearing about that are beginning, that we're going to have to dive into?
Well,
to get clarity.
Yeah, so first of all, let me talk a little bit about a couple of things that were solidified. One, I think, was good. One was not so good. The one that was good is on affiliates. There was quite a bit of confusion about how to treat an affiliated company so that if a borrower was dealing with a mortgage lender and then the mortgage lender had an affiliated company that was providing a service to the borrower, but it was not it was not a lending type service. It was like title insurance or an appraisal,
right,
or something like that. The question was, how do you account for the borrower payment? There was an early interpretation that it had to be included in the amount being paid to the lender, and that caused a lot of consternation. But the Fed clarified on the phone that if it is being paid for a third-party service, even if it's an affiliated company, you're just fine. So if it's an appraisal, if it's title insurance, those are a couple of the most common type of examples. Another example is an affiliated real estate company. So the brokerage commission that you pay to the real estate agent, again, will be considered separate and apart and not considered part of the compensation being paid to the lender. So that was a plus. A negative was that the Fed made it absolutely crystal clear, or the Fed staff did, I should say, that you cannot have compensation based on profitability to a loan originator. That in a mortgage lending company, inevitably profitability is attributable to, in part, the terms and conditions of the loans that are being originated by the company, and therefore, if you base your compensation to a loan originator on the profitability of the company as a whole, you'll be in violation of the rule. That's something they've sort of been edging towards and edging towards and edging towards. They finally just, you know, clarified that on Thursday and just made it very clear.
Well, that's interesting. The other thing that just really – I was listening. It was spring break, so I was dialed in with my cell phone listening to this call until my battery burned out to the whole Fed call. One other thing that seemed to bring – they discussed at length was something referred to as point banks, or some way of basically taking some portion of the gain and attributing it into some type of pool that can be applied towards rate extensions, rate exceptions. Do you want to comment on some of the what you heard there and what can and cannot be done? You were the one that tipped me off that they found this to be not acceptable, and they seem to stay with that and say, we have not found any way, which implies that they might be open to finding a way, but they seem to close the door on all the plans that have been submitted to them. Am I correct in that, what I heard?
You are absolutely correct, Dave. Essentially, and brace yourself, because this explanation is going to seem a little strange, but the Fed staff has decided that any type of point bank idea really constitutes compensation to the loan originator. Now, I say this even though all the point bank ideas that I've seen, none of them involve any money that's being paid to the originator. But
the
Fed is saying that in the rule defines compensation as a commission or a salary or any financial or other incentive to the loan originator, and they're claiming that under a point bank, if you give the loan originator the ability to discount loans or to pay certain types of expenses, let's say a rate lock extension or things like that, that previously would have come out of the loan originator's compensation, if you give them the ability to do that, that's the same thing as them discounting their commission in order to pay that expense, and therefore it's prohibited.
That was really confusing. Now, here's the question I received from a lot of our clients. I'm wondering if you received it from all your members on this thing. And by the way, I'm so happy to hear that you have over 40-some members right now. Your group is growing. I'm just thrilled for your success. Congratulations to you and Pete and your group for the growth that's happening there. But the questions that we're hearing is that what if the company's just on their own discretion just allows for a rate lock extension, or they decide to drop a rate because they're about ready to lose a deal. Are they prohibited as a result of those comments that the Fed's made from even doing that?
No, that's what the Federal Reserve staff has been trying to achieve, I think, with their interpretation. They really want those kinds of decisions to for the company to pay for the rate lock extension, for the company to decide to discount the interest rate if you need to do that in order to get the loan. They want those decisions being made by the company, and they want the financial consequence to be borne by the company and not by the loan originator.
Which is interesting, because one of the other things that came up was, what if a company gets sued as a result of activities of an originator? There's no recourse back to the loan originator, if I understood them correctly. And you want to comment on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In other words, essentially, you cannot adjust the loan originator's comp, or you cannot go back against the loan originator for things that they did or didn't do in prior periods. So the example that the Federal Reserve gave, for example, because a number of our members have asked us this, is what if we have a loan originator that failed to collect the appraisal fee? Or what if we have a loan originator that really messed up on the good faith estimate such that we, the company, had to make an adjustment to get it back within the 10% tolerance? Why can't we take that factor into account as we look at the loan originator's compensation in the next period and decide whether we're going to adjust it up or down depending upon their performance? The Fed, in another curveball, said, no, you cannot do that. If you can't make an immediate adjustment to compensation for that factor, you also can't use it to make a prospective change to their compensation. That seems to contradict things that are in the commentary, but nonetheless, that was the Fed interpretation.
That's what I want. I want to bring Alice, Joe, and Andy in on this, the Prophet Doctor. Let's start with you, Alice. Any questions that you have for Glenn or comments on what has been spoken?
Well, just a quick clarification on what you just said, Glenn. So did I understand, though, that, for instance, on that loan, though, if it's closing, at the time of closing, and I see that, you know, the LO has completely messed up, we're going to have a cost to cure on the HUD-1, can I have an immediate impact to that next paycheck? Is that part okay when you use the word immediate? It's just that I can't use it, you know, going forward and adjusting their comp plan.
Alice, no, unfortunately, you can't do it either way. In other words, you can't do it immediately and can't do it prospectively.
That's what I thought. You couldn't do it at all. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but you can still have in a performance measure that, you know, if I have an employee who's repeatedly costing me money, then I have to choose to put some performance improvement plan in place or they don't work for me anymore. I can't have it as a direct hit to their pay. Was there... their response.
Well, you know, I want to say yes to you because that sure as heck makes sense to me. But honestly, with the answer that we got on Thursday, I really hesitate to say that because essentially what the Fed staff said is that they're interpreting the regulation that you cannot use as a factor in the evaluation any kind of factor that the rule doesn't permit you to use against the, you know, use to reduce the originator's comp or adjust the originator's comp on an immediate basis. So if a person is continually, it seems to me that if a person is continually costing you money by messing up on the good faith estimate or failing to collect appraisal fee or something like that, honestly, it looks like your only recourse is to put them on probation and then fire them or fire them outright. I know that sounds crazy, but honestly, if I were advising somebody, that's what I'd tell them I think they need to do.
Thank you.
Andy, let's come to you. I know you got your hand up for a question. Jump in.
Yeah, I do, real quick. Hey, Glenn, it's great to hear your voice again. I'm going to go in reverse order because of the time. If we put together a bonus pool where we want to incent the correct behavior, and so we have our base salary, and we're also going to pay a per file, a dollar amount, and a percentage on the loans closed, and we also say we'll pay 20% of the amount that's earned in a bonus if the files are delivered timely, they have good pull-through, loans close on time, and loans are purchased on time. So we're not going to ding them if they're not purchased on time, but if they are, we're going to pay them a bonus. Is that acceptable?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that'll work, Andy.
Perfect. Perfect. And then just a quick clarification. When you were previously speaking about affiliated companies, that's a legal affiliate where there's some sort of common ownership?
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly what I was talking about.
I hear people in mortgage banking circles talk about affiliated, and they're really talking about branches that are their own employees, and they call them, instead of calling them net branches, they're calling them affiliated branches. Just wanted to make the clarification that we're not talking about, quote, affiliated branches. We're talking about a legal definition of affiliate.
And then, that's correct.
Lastly, and Alice brought this up earlier, or maybe it was Joe, what authority does the Fed staff have to make these
rulings?
Well,
I'm chuckling because I can anticipate the answer.
that's one of the crazy things. If you look at the slides that the Fed posted on the website, and they're available to be downloaded now if you want, that they talked from, all of those slides contain the legend saying that the opinions that are being expressed are strictly the opinions of the Fed staff, and they by no means bind the Federal Reserve Board.
I thought that
like
was comical.
So we just thought it was too.
So if we as an industry just all do it fairly consistently among ourselves, even if we're not getting clear direction, does being in the huddled masses give you some level of defense or safety?
They can't
well,
write us
might,
all
but,
up.
But Andy, here's the crazy thing, is that if you think about it, for most independent mortgage bankers, the primary enforcer of this regulation going forward will be the various state regulators. And who do you think the state regulators are going to get their guidance from on questions and issues that they have with the rules? They're going to get it from the same Federal Reserve staff people that we heard on the webcast last week. So while they say these are our opinions only, we all know full well that they're also going to be giving those opinions to the state regulators that are going to be seeking guidance on how to enforce this rule in the future.
Well, we need to go take our state regulators out to lunch.
First time you'll have them on your budget to start whining and dining. Crazy. It reminds me of that one exterminator where the guy's bent over holding a big mallet behind his back and he's pointing at the mouse. Now, don't you come in here, and then he's just prepared to whack him. Kind of feels like that sometimes. Joe, I want to let you jump in here, see if you have any questions for Glenn here before we go out.
Yeah, real quick, Glenn, update on the lawsuits. What, anything moving on that, or do you have any opinion on those?
Here's where the lawsuits stand right now. As you know, two different broker groups filed lawsuits. The lawsuits were consolidated. The Federal Reserve Board asked that they be consolidated into one case. Federal Reserve Board then filed their answer to the complaints last Friday, and now the two broker groups have until this coming Friday, the end of this week, to file their response to the Federal Reserve Board's response, and then the judge is free to schedule a hearing on the motion for a temporary restraining order to hear that motion and make a decision.
Very good.
Might that happen by April 1st?
It could happen by April 1st. There's no guarantee, Joe, but it could very well happen.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right, Lex, thank you so much, Glenn, for being on the program again. I want to we appreciate that, and if it's possible to bring you back even next week to bring you on, that would be awesome. I want to bring in Tony Garitano real fast for a quick update on what's going on in the world of technology. Tony, good to have you on the program.
Dave, thank you for having me. That was a great conversation just a while back. I think that was very informative. What I wanted to talk to you guys about this time is something that you and I talked about before the show started. I'm going to be actually not on the show next week because I'm going to be at the MBA Technology Conference. And I think that the one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is conferences and how people can get together and collaborate in new and interesting ways. You mentioned your success through LinkedIn. And I think that we can all agree that that is going to continue to grow, and I think that that's a great forum for you and others to be thought leaders and to get good content out there so that people can network and be educated online. But in addition to that, I also think that there is room for other associations or vendors to come into the space with new types of conferences. The MBA does an awesome job of getting a lot of people together in one location. But if you're a technology vendor, I think sometimes you get pushed into the exhibit hall or a sponsorship position, and then you complain, well, exhibit hall traffic is down. A sponsorship didn't get me anything because I'm one of 50 sponsors. Well, you know, the market is down. Participation in general in the market is down. So exhibit hall traffic is also going to be down. So what's going on is this one vendor that I just heard of last week, they're actually an AMC-type vendor. They're called Global DMS. They're putting on a show called the Global Technology Summit, and what they're doing I think is kind of interesting. They're doing away with the exhibit hall concept altogether, and they're bringing the technology people actually into the program.
That's interesting.
And they're giving them an opportunity to kind of talk and be thought leaders and provide their own spin on real problems like loan officer compensation. And I think that's a nice new model that might be a value add for everybody.
Well, I think that's something. In fact, a lot of people have gotten to know or getting familiar with Glenn Corso's organization, the Community Mortgage Lending Mortgage Banking Project. And, again, go to that website. But that's very interesting. I think in a time where we have so many limited budgets, it is going to be more of an issue. I appreciate you coming on to the program each and every week, Tony, helping us look at the things we need to see out there that are coming to us in the world of technology. Good luck at your conference, by the way. It's good to have you be a part of the program. That's next week. Where are you going to be at, by the way?
It's in Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Florida this year, and I look forward to seeing all your readers and listeners there. It's going to be a good show.
Good deal. Thank you so much for being with us. Folks, remember to tune in next week. We're going to continue on wrapping up the topic of loan officer compensation. Good to have you with us. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking.